Father God, it's good to be in your presence today, to be before you, to hear your word, to know your truth, that we would be free to accomplish what you intended for us to accomplish in this life that you've entrusted to us. So Lord, right now we just pray that you would teach us, that you would confirm your truth within us, that we would act on it in such a way that it would please you, that we would be a blessing to those around us, that we would see you work in ways beyond what we can think or imagine. We thank you for sending your Son to accomplish what we could not, for restoring a right relationship with you. Lord, I pray that your peace would be upon us in this time, and that you would be honored by our thoughts, by our words, and our deeds. Just thank you for all these things. Amen. And amen. So, since January, we've been on this journey, looking at God's story from in the beginning to amen. And we've been looking at signposts, but we also last week brought in the idea that these signposts are interrelated to one another as trees have common things that make them trees. And the reason we did this is because we're parking on a significant signpost, a significant tree that is really the culmination of God fulfilling all of his promises that he made in the Old Testament in Christ. Okay, and last week I introduced this this unusual tree that to give you an idea of what we're talking about, and that's the banyan tree. And the banyan tree is a unique tree because it relies on other trees to come into being. Okay, so and the banyan tree has unusual roots. It takes root on a tree, and then its roots cover the tree, right? So the tree that it is rooted in supports the banyan tree. And banyan trees are very large trees. They become very large trees. And we're looking at this tree, this banyan tree, and we're associating it with our conversion, the result of Christ's work fulfilling the promises that God made to solve the problem in the beginning, our sin, right? And our being separated from God by our sin. And last week, we looked at the one root that is a very significant root, and that is the idea of justification. All right. And oftentimes we stop there when we talk about conversion. The problem with that is that conversion is more than just our being justified. That there are these other aspects of our relationship being restored that God presents as the benefit of our being made whole again, and God's order being restored. And the problem with just focusing on one root in your conversation is that you're presenting, you're communicating a gospel that is less than the gospel that Christ proclaimed, that the scriptures reveal. In today's text, we're going to look at another root of the banyan tree, okay, that has of equal importance, especially in our day and age, because there is so much conflict going on in the world, and there is a cry that is starting to well up for peace. We're getting tired of the warring. We're getting tired of the factions. We're getting tired of the us and them. And in Romans chapter 5, we've been looking at one verse that signifies the signpost or the tree along this journey, along of our understanding God's story, God's storyline from in the beginning to amen. And in Romans 5, and I'm going to start in verse 8, but the real meat of it starts in verse 9, okay, of what we're looking at today. It says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. May the Lord add a blessing to you in the reading of this word. Okay. There are basically three things that we can draw from this passage. Okay. Paul writes what God has demonstrated. He's going to the signpost of Christ. He's going to the tree, the pinnacle tree of God revealing the fulfillment of all the promises in Christ. He goes, but God demonstrates his own love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's not that God died for good people. All right? It's not that God intervened because we wanted him to. All right? He demonstrates his love towards us. He's the initiator of his love. Right? And he comes towards us sinners. And he pays the price, the acceptable price, to restore relationship with us. But get what Paul says here. Much more then. So if you settle for verse 8, you're settling for less. That's what the much more then is saying. Okay, if you're settling that Christ died for me because I have sin, right, you're settling for less. Because Paul says, much more then, now having been justified by his blood, and we talked about justification last week. So what he's going to talk about is beyond justification. So when we preach a gospel that's just justification, we're preaching less the gospel. If we emphasize any one aspect of this, we are not acknowledging the full meaning of our restored relationship, our salvation, our conversion. If we focus on just a idea of a justification gospel, it becomes a moralistic gospel. And you can go off base on a moralistic gospel. You can start thinking, oh, I'm better than you because Christ died for me, right? Or you can say, I'm better than you because I do these things, right? Or you can, you know, do multiple ways of getting off track here, because the reality is that, yes, we are justified by the blood of Christ. That is absolutely true. But then he goes and he says, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Now we touched on the wrath of God last week a little bit in regards to justification, that our sin incurs God's wrath. God is not pleased with our disrupting God's good, okay? We have a just God, and he will punish sin, right? All right, So here's what we need to understand. That God's wrath isn't just because we missed the mark. That we didn't live up to his expectations. God's wrath is much more than that. It says, for while we were enemies, it's not just because we didn't pass the test. It's not just because we weren't good enough. We're not passive in this thing. Remember back to what God said in Genesis 3:15. All right? That there was going to be a conflict between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And in fact, God says, as a result of Adam's sin, he says, I will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Okay, and we can see throughout when we look at the signposts that the sons of the serpent, the seed of the serpent, sought to derail, defraud, and destroy God's plan. Right? But God pushed through that, right? He pushed through the opposition. Okay? There was a war going on. We see the war, but we need to realize that the war is not just the things that we see. Okay? The war is with our thinking. Our thinking, Adam's thinking, was at odds with God. Okay? Adam's want was at odds with God. And God says that that is equivalent to being an insurrectionist. That is equivalent to rebelling, okay, going to war with God. For if while we were enemies, okay, so God just didn't die for bad people, okay? He died to those who were opposed to him. Sin is being in opposition to God. It is choosing something as good that it's in opposition to what God calls bad. Okay? And you are warring with God. You're not a pacifist. None of us are. Okay? We go to war all the time. We have conflict all the time. Conflict is a reality of this life. And it will not be resolved until the judgment, when the victory is finally established. Yes, the victory is through the cross, but it is not worked out until he comes again. And so there's still a war going on. Okay? So we ought not to be surprised by those that oppose us because we're representing God. Okay? For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Not only are we justified through the blood of his son, but we are also reconciled, right? The same act that Christ fulfilled in his life, death, burial, and resurrection not only justifies us, but reconciles us. And they are not necessarily the same. Okay? In John 14:27, here's what Jesus says. He says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Now, here's the interesting thing. He says, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Okay? Christ came to proclaim peace. Peace between the one who we are all at odds against because of our sin. Ephesians 2, we're going to go there. But Ephesians 2 says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which we walked according to the course of the world. We were by nature children of wrath. We were wrathful towards God before God turned in response to our wrath. We were the instigator of the hostility towards God. Okay? God is just defending his position that he is God of a kingdom, and we are at war with God's kingdom. We're with war with God. That is where we start from. We are insurrectionists. We are anarchists. We are jihadists because of our fallen condition. And we are in rebellion against God, and that puts us at war with God. I don't know how clear I need to be for us to understand when we are seeing the people around us raging. What are they really raging at? They're raging at God, right? And they're wanting to establish their peace. But Jesus said, peace I leave you, peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. We will not find peace in this life, in this world. We have to look for peace elsewhere. A peace that will last, that will not be circumstantial. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. And then he says, much more. Wait, there's more. Okay? God is informing us just how big a gospel, a salvation that he has entrusted us with, that he has lavished upon us. He says, much more, having been reconciled. You are justified, you are reconciled, we shall now be saved by his life. We'll talk about redemption as another idea, a root of the banyan tree. But it's another way that we can hang our understanding of what our salvation is. And it deepens our relationship with God. Look what it says. All right? He goes, and not only this, another, wait, there's more. See, if you just settle for one of it, you're settling for so much less. If you only understand your relationship with God, that he has justified you, and not beyond that, you are settling for a lesser gospel. And you are not understanding the fullness that Christ fulfilled through his gracious act. Okay? And not only this, but we also exult in God. He's saying that when we understand that we are not only justified, but that we are not only reconciled, but we are not only redeemed, and all of these are aspects of our conversion, our being saved, that there is a response to that, that we exult in God, that we praise God, that we glorify God, that we are motivated by joy, understanding all the benefits of our salvation. The more that we understand how good we have it because of the grace of God through the work of Jesus Christ, it gets beyond your head. It goes deeper than your hands. It gets right to your heart. It goes right to the core of your want, of your will, of your thinking, of your all in all. You're not just partially saved. Okay? You're overwhelmed with the beauty and the majesty and the glory of Christ crucified, Christ raised, Christ ascended. And it cannot be overlooked. It cannot be lessened. When you understand that, it is overwhelming you. And it constrains you. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5 says the love of Christ controls you, constrains you, motivates you, empowers you, emboldens you. Okay? So not only this, we will exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received, and notice it is the. It's not another. It's not a lesser. It is the reconciliation. Our relationship with Christ is restored. We are no longer enemies of God. We are no longer at war with God. We are no longer to be at odds with God. We now have peace with God. And that is the only peace that matters. Because when we go back to John 14, what does it say? It says, in regards to the peace of God, that he leaves you, not as the world leaves you. Okay? And what he says is that there is a benefit. And the benefit is this. That our heart will no longer be troubled. Remember what I said? When we understand the fullness of the benefit of the gospel that has been extended to us and the benefit of our salvation, it goes right to our heart. And it changes us. You know where your heart is. Okay? You know the condition of your heart by what comes out of your mouth. You know the condition of your heart by how you respond to others. You know the condition of your heart and how you respond to God. All right? And sin troubles our heart. Our condition of being at war with God troubles our heart because we were meant to live at peace with God in the beginning, and he called it very good. And when we went to war, we lost that access. And so some would say we have a God-sized void in our heart. And God has reconciled that so that no longer our heart will be troubled, and no longer, look what it says, shall we be fearful. We will not be fearful by the war that's going on around us. We will not be fearful when conflict comes our way. Okay? Because we have been given the reconciliation. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 13. Actually, we're going to go back a little bit. So he's talking about this division that's happening between Gentiles and Jews. And the conflict is about a right of passage, an identity. And the identity that Jews are really stuck on was circumcision, right? And when the gospel came, circumcision no longer had the same value, okay? And so here's what it says. He goes, therefore remember in verse 11, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, right? By the so-called circumcision, the haves and the have-nots, right? We have this sign. We have this identity. You don't. We're at war. I mean, that's what's going on. You see this in our racial tension that we have today, right? And people are going to an outward sign of whether you are a good person or not. So here's what it says. And this thing which is performed in the flesh by human hands. He goes, remember that you are at that time, separate from Christ. Okay? There was separation. Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. You are outside of God's kingdom. If you are outside of God's kingdom, you are not with him. You are against him. You are at odds with him. You are in the kingdom of the one who walks amongst us, the prince of the air, who is now working in the sons of disobedience. You are in the dominion of the devil. That's what it says. That's what the scripture says. So we were excluded from this, and we are strangers to the covenant of promise. Okay, we do not comprehend God's plan. We do not understand God's story. And as a result, having no hope and without God in the world. Okay? But now in Christ, all right, there has been a change of relationship. That's where we once were. We were separated from Christ. We were outside the kingdom of God. We did not know the promises. We had no hope, and we were without God in the world. We were not saved. We were not converted. We were in opposition to him. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The same provision of the gospel is the blood and body of Christ, crucified, buried, raised, ascended. For he himself, look what it says, he himself is our peace. He is the one who reestablished relationship, changed the terms of the relationship that we have in our rebellion and at war with God. He is our peace, who made both groups into one. Another theme that we'll look at. And broke down the barrier in the division wall by abolishing in his flesh, there's that war word again, enmity. He abolished the enmity that was established in the beginning at the fall. He deals with the enmity, the war that we have, which is in the law, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Okay? The law shows that we were at odds with God. The law shows that we are sinners, that we're hostile towards God. Okay? Because we reject God's law. Because we have a different understanding of what we think good is and what we determine bad to be. Okay, and that's an affront to God. That in himself he may make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. Okay, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. I am no longer seen as the haves or the have-nots. I am seen as one who is identified in Christ. okay? And might reconcile them. Establishing peace reconciled them, both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. There is no, when we come to Christ, we're no longer at war with God. Okay? And then he says here, and he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Okay? For through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. We are born again. Okay? We have been given a new heart. We have been given a spirit that identifies us. All right? We have come to terms with God. We have surrendered. Right? We have received the conditions for a restored relationship. So no longer we're strangers and aliens, but our fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Okay? And again, Paul is lavishing on many ideas here in regards to salvation. And we're just looking at reconciliation today. We're emphasizing reconciliation today because it is so needy, it is so important, and we need to understand this message because we have so many people around us in this world today that are longing for peace, and they're going about it in all the wrong ways. Now, Jesus said that we would be happy if we were peacemakers. Sometimes we bring our own conflict because we are not preaching peace. We're preaching war. Right? We have forgotten. Right? We need to have a heart check. Right? One other section I want to look at is the section that I mentioned earlier, and it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who rose again on their behalf." Remember, we talked about the issue is that when we understand these aspects of salvation, of our conversion, when we understand it, it changes us from within. Right? And it's an eternal heart check. Do we have soft hearts? Right? Do we have loving hearts? Are we responding in love? When someone insults us, do we find it too easy to insult in return, or do we return a blessing? That's what Peter taught. Blessing for insult. He died for all, that they should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. It should change our priority. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. There is no longer a measure of pleasing God by outward measures. Because there are people who do outward measures that seem to be good, but they're doing it from a wrong heart. And therefore, that doesn't please God. They're still at war with God. Okay? They're ninja commandos against God. Right? They do their sinning, their rebellion in secret. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Okay, we're not to judge people by their outward appearance. We're not to say, oh, you're a good person or you can get saved and you can't. Because the power of the gospel overcomes all of those things. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. And then here's where we get to this idea of reconciliation. For now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us not just reconciliation that we saw in Romans, but he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. See, if you are benefited by something, what do you do? Do you keep it to yourself? No. If you are benefited by something, you tell somebody, right? And if you're not telling somebody that the benefit that you have received, then you really don't appreciate the benefit of what you have received. And so the reason that people don't share what God has done in their lives is because they don't appreciate or understand the fullness of what God has done on their behalf. The reason that people don't tell other people about Jesus is because they have not gone beyond their lesser gospel that they're entrusting in. And the whole idea of trying to understand the banyan tree of our conversion is because God has entrusted us with so great a salvation. And there is a reason that he saved us, not to keep it to ourselves. Remember, the storyline was that God made these promises so that we would be blessed by them, so that we could bless others. Tell others, show others, give them opportunity to have what they can freely have as we have freely received it. Okay? Goes on to say, namely, this ministry of reconciling, namely, he quantifies it, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Not counting their trespasses against him, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So he has restored responsibility. The responsibility that he gave Adam in the garden was to tend the garden, right? And keep it. And that the garden would fill the earth. When we get saved, we're not just saved from, but we're saved to. God gives us purpose. God gives us a hope. God gives us a motivation, a desire, a drive. So if you're a pew potato, okay? If you're a pew potato, if you stay in the dark, what happens to potatoes that stay in the dark? Right? They eventually rot. Yeah. Okay? Potato was meant to produce more potatoes. We just get the benefit of taking a couple of those potatoes and, you know, enjoying them. But the reality is that we are saved not to just sit. We are saved to be sent. We are given this ministry. We are given this role. We're given this responsibility to proclaim the peace that we ourselves have received. To proclaim the restored relationship that comes through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And he's committed to us this word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though Christ were entreating through us. We beg on you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And then he reiterates the gospel again. He made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So this banyan tree, okay, it's big. right? And it's meant to have an impact. It's meant to cover. It is meant to expand and grow. So my encouragement to you, again, the encouragement of the word to you today is, but wait, there's more. Okay, don't settle for less. If you want to live a life of peace, of a heart not being troubled, of not having fear, jump in and understand all that there is, all that there entails to our salvation. And let's see the love of God not just impact us, but impact those around us who are in desperate need of peace, desperate need to know that there is love, desperate need to know that there is joy, just desperate need to know that there is hope. Because all that they see around them, all that they know in their lives because they of sin, and their views are distorted, and they're caught up in distractions, and their lives are anything less than what they desire. There are people in your life that need to hear what you have received and heard. As God has called you, call those around you. The peace that we offer is far greater than the peace that the world offers. And we have seen the effect of reconciliation. We've seen people who should be at war with one another come together and worship God. I've seen growers and law enforcement worshiping God together. I've seen foresters and earth firsters, environmentalists, tree sitters worshiping God together. I've seen Democrats and Republicans worshiping God together, being a part of the restored kingdom. Because none of those things matter. What matters is Christ and Him crucified and Him buried and Him raised and all the blessings that are able to be poured out upon those who receive the sufficiency of God's terms in regards to the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, our hearts at times are mixed, and they should not be. Lord, we forget just how truly great a love that you have loved us with, that not only have you declared us innocent